What happens when God says no? Will you yet trust Him if He says wait? Is He the first one you call upon when you are in trouble? Or is He just a backup option? How much of your time does God get? Or does He get any of your time at all? Join Pastor McKnight on Thursday nights from 8 to 8:30 p.m. as we learn to position ourselves for purpose and victory. Thursday, we'll discuss strategies for growing in your faith, keys to understanding your destiny, how to flow in God's favor, and so much more. Pastor McKnight would be delighted to touch and agree with you as you discover God's plan for your life. You're invited to connect with us as we grow from this place by dialing 712-775-8968 and access code 450-281. 2 Peter encourages us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So what are you waiting for? Ready, set, grow.
Well, praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. I'm excited about this evening. Welcome to Growing from This Place. It's an exciting season to be able to share with you on this evening. I want to say hello to you, as well as to your family. We're speaking blessings over you. I'm Pastor Jonathan McKnight, Senior Pastor of Sanctuary Praise Ministries here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. We're just blessed to be able to have you on our call tonight, going from this place, which really means whatever place that God has us in, whatever place that we've been in, whatever place we are in, whatever going on in our life and around our life and in our life, we can seriously, grow from this place. And I just want to say to each one of you that no matter where you've landed in life, no matter where you've been, no matter where you plan to go, you trust God as being your director, as being your guidance, as being your peace, as being your instructor, and as being your director. God can, God will, He will direct our path. Of course, we definitely want to continue to be in prayer for our nation, to be in prayer for our world, to be in prayer for our country. Just looking a little earlier today, and the way it's going, we had a massive day of loss today. We have a massive day of loss of over 6,000 on this way to 6,500 deaths on this day alone. And we need to be in prayer because I know people are anxious about the economy, which I really feel from the depths of my soul. That's another whole broadcast. That's another whole thought pattern, but we need to use wisdom. One of the things I believe in that God will do is give us the wisdom to have faith and faith to have wisdom. I want you all to hear me up under the sound of my voice. I know you all have, many of you have spiritual leaders, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers. You have pastors and people that might be directing you spiritually. But one thing is for sure is that our orders need to be given not only from the people of God who God is speaking to, that's going to release safety, but also we got to be able to know the timing of God. The timing of God is not based upon the political parties wanting to open up the economy. It's not based upon a governor or a mayor or a politician. The timing of God is based upon what God wants in order for us to be able to move in the direction He wants us to move in. So I'm saying that to you, not trying to be the spiritual authority over your life, but I'm just saying pray about wisdom. And I know as for me and as for what we want to do for my family, for my church family, we have made an agreement that we're moving. We're moving when God says to move. And we're going to use wisdom and understand that the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. And out of all that getting, get an understanding. So let's continue to pray for all of those families, all of those ministries, all of those churches, all of the communities, all of our families, so they can know that we want to make sure that they are covered, that they're using wisdom, and that God is protecting us all over this world, not just the United States of America, but over the entire world. I want to share something with you. Father, we thank you for these next few moments. We are excited about this opportunity from growing from this place. We ask you, oh God, to let your holy revelation and your holy oil move in a mighty way. We thank you for giving us another chance to be able to share. I'm thanking you, God, that our hearts and our spirits are open to hear and to receive what you have to say. And we thank you that it's already done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read a passage of scripture for you on tonight. It comes from Luke, the 12th chapter, Luke 12, Luke 12 is where we're coming from on tonight. And I want to start reading from verse, perhaps we'll start reading from verse 29. And seek not ye that ye, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. I'm going to read that again. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all things, all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then I want to go to verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want God to bless his word, and I want to, on this morning, the Lord gave me this word to share with you on this evening. And I believe it's a very crucial word by which we need to understand that this world is in dire needs of direction. There's so many people putting so many things out there. And I think what we have to do is get back to the basics. And the Lord was bringing some thoughts to me about how do we handle the pandemic, what do we do when we're in an economic famine, what do we do when the world is in a global crisis, and what's the meaning of this, and what's the purpose of this, and how do I come out of this with a lesson that God perhaps wants me to learn. I start thinking about all of this on this morning. And then I started thinking about, I'm going to be transparent with you tonight. I started thinking about, I never saw myself, let me see, 22nd, 29th, 5th, 12th, 19th, going into the 26th. So basically, two Sundays in March and getting ready to be the fourth Sunday in April. Never in my life before. Those of you who know a little about me and my family, my dad pastored 50-plus years as a bishop. Him and my mom done ministry for 60-plus years. Thank God they're still with us. And I'm a fifth-generational preacher, been around the church all my life, hasn't necessarily been in it. But one thing I've never had happen in my life since I was born, in the bishop and the pastor's house, I never have missed 6 weeks of church, of not going in church. But here's the key to this. I have not missed 6 weeks of God. I might have missed 6 weeks of fellowship by which the church I pastor, but I haven't missed 6 weeks of God. And one of the things that I think is important, and I begin to analyze this morning, from the time of March 22nd up until right now, the day is, what, the 23rd of April, March 22nd of March, 22nd of March up until now, the question now has become for me, Pastor McKnight, what have you done? And you know you love God. And the scripture says in Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So what it tells me is as horrific and painful as this is, there's a lesson to be learned from this season to make my life better. Not so much looking at other people's lives. One of the things I have not done, and I want to make sure I don't do, it's focused so much on others until I forfeit the opportunity to learn myself what God wants from me. I've taken this time to be very, very personal. I've taken this time to actually be my own critic. And you're not any one of us probably need to criticize ourselves, because we probably have so many other people who have hired themselves to do that. But this, I think it's good to reevaluate. I think it's good to be able to reanalyze. And I think it's good to sometimes just kind of stand up in the mirror and just say, study the parts of you that maybe the parts of you that you're proud of, maybe the parts of you that you're not so proud of. Because it's actually a travesty when you can look in the mirror and honestly think there's nothing about you that doesn't need to be changed. It is a mirage and a false narrative when you can justify looking at yourself, where you've been, where you are, and where you're going, and don't see anything that needs to change or improve, enhance, or develop better about your own life. It's just wrong to think that there's nothing about us that needs to be readjusted or needs to be improved. Simply, we're living, as we like to say, in la-la land. So I've been taking this time, and I've been looking daily at my life. I've been studying. I've been reading the Word of God. I've been intensifying my worship and intensifying my study in the Word of God. And I've been looking at me, and I've been looking at myself, and I've been asking God, what do you want me to learn from this? Every day I see, today 6,333 people have already passed around the world. And that's a lot of people. You know, we're on our way to 50,000 in the United States of America as we yet speak. We're on our way to 50,000 people who has passed from this virus within a two-month period or less. And I'm saying to myself, God, I cannot go through a global season that the world has never seen and come out of this the same way, or I have missed. I cannot live through this that others, that we're on our way to other 200,000, close to 200,000. I think we're at 190,000. So the way things are going by Saturday, I'm not speaking death, I'm just speaking the realities of the numbers. Probably by Saturday, the world will be over 200,000. The United States will be well on its way to well over 100, halfway over 100,000. And then I began to think about this. I'm saying, God, you've left us here. And everyone that's up under the sound of my voice, you've left us here for such a time as this. And you've left us here to be able to reanalyze and to be able to revisit and to be able to try to learn from this. And when I was thinking about it this morning, this thought came to my mind, and these words came to my mind. God, what am I to do in this season? What am I to do with all this time? When actually it seems like the days are going by faster. It looked like April has shot by so fast. It's so crazy, because next week we are into May. Next week, we're in the fifth month. 5 months already in the year 2020, because there have been so many breaking news days until looking at the days has somewhat been consumed of the time because of the news of the days. So now I've been asking God daily, what am I going to learn from this? What story and what message do you want me? I'm not talking about a preaching message or just a teaching message. I'm talking about, what am I as a man, as an African-American man, to learn in this season? What am I to do having a son that I'm trying to raise in this season? What am I to do as I try to pastor and lead a congregation that now 6 weeks ago, I was a pastor that was in fellowship. I'm a virtual pastor. What am I to learn? And what's the meaning of you giving me and giving us and even the people that's growing from this place? What are we to learn from this? And he spoke these words so clearly until it just jumped on my heart and it jumped on my spirit. He said, I have given everyone time to prioritize and reorganize. Prioritize and reorganize. Prioritize and reorganize. He said, that's what I'm really doing. Because the next shifting and the next orders and the next realm of life and the next assignment by which I'm going to move in, there needs to be people who will have their priorities in place and reorganize to get their life back. Because actually, I'm giving everybody a second chance to regroup. And some of us might be on the third, fourth, or fifth one. I'm giving you a chance to not look at your cousin, to not look at your friend, to not look at your husband, to not look at your wife, to not look at just your children. I'm literally giving you a chance to check your priorities and reorganize. And I'm doing it in such a way to where I've taken away the ability for you to become consumed with your priorities. I'm literally dealing with the things that had consumed you. Well, let's just look at it. What the total today is, there's 26 million people. That's considered as unemployed. Been averaging 4.4 to 4.6 million people a week filing for unemployment. Over 26 million Americans say they have no job, which means there's a stringent possibility that they have no income. So if your job was your priority, I'm giving you a mindset to reorganize. Some of us, reality shows, the NBA, the NFL, football, basketball, movies, fashion, external things, the beauty industry, the hair industry, the nail industry, the manicure, the pedicure, the new outfits, the vehicles, you wanted a car just to be able to let other people think you got it going on, but I'm trying to get you back to prioritize and get your priorities back right, and I'm trying to get you to reorganize to understand that every day that car is in your driveway, every day that car is under your garage is still depreciating. The value of your vehicle is not going up. Every day you own it, every day goes by. This week, if you didn't drive it, it's worth less than it was last week. I'm trying to get you to prioritize your mindset. I'm trying to get you to reorganize the fact that your social life of just going out and wanting to be a social guru, to just want to be able to hang out and go here and go there and go this and go that and go this and go that and hang out here and go this and go that and go this and go that. You get the picture. And you're wasting. You're not saving. You're not thinking. You're not thinking about future. You're not thinking about just in case. You're not praying for a storm. You're not planning for a hurricane. You're just living with no accountability. And anyone that tries to make you or anything that tries to make you accountable, you despise it because they pull a mirror out just by their questions or just by the fact that you're not prepared. When we think of the word prioritize. It means designate or treat something as more important than other things. When you get your priorities right, it means that you're dealing with something, a task that is important. It's when you create a list of projects or goals and you focus on that. It means that you've decided what's really important. And then you got to reorganize, which means to organize again and change the way something was organized in order to improve it. Self-improvement, self-development is crucial in this season. You cannot be in this season and just go back to your own ways and go back to your old behaviors that have not advanced you beyond where you are. You have to have a renewed mind. You can't be conformed to this world. You got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to change the way you think. You got to change the thought of getting a check on Friday and it's gone by Saturday. You got to change the thought of just trying to look good on the outside. And we got a closet full of clothes, but we can't buy $40 worth of gas. We're looking good for each other, and everybody's trying to perpetrate like it's fine, when actually our priorities are not where they need to be. And the Lord gave me some things, and I began to think about it, and I'm visiting this, and I'm looking at it from me, I'm looking at it from you, and he told me to write down some questions. He said, many of you now, you're looking at this as an opportunity. You feel like you got a break. And the Lord said, write these questions down and ask the people on Growing From This Place tonight. First question he gave me is, what are you resting from? Why are you tired? Why are you tired? What did you do today to where now you begin to embrace fatigue? What did you do today to say, I feel drained and wore out? Where's the proof that your priorities were in order and you was reorganizing something in your life for your life to improve? That's question number one. Question number two is, why are you tired? What did you do today to better your life, and what did I do today to make my life better? Question number three, what was the benefit for you and your family from you being tired? Are you tired from getting up, walking from the couch to the refrigerator? Are you tired because maybe you're hurting because you've been in the same position? Are you changing the configuration of the couch? Why? And what are the benefits that you receive today from this effort and this time by which God has given you? Number four, what did you benefit today from, or even this week, from what you say you were doing? Why did you need sleep? Did you need rest? Simply that you needed rest to procrastinate another day? Where are your priorities? And what are you reorganizing to improve your life? What am I reorganizing to improve my life? Another question. Major question. The engagement of your association, what does it motivate you to do? Who are you talking to? What does it motivate you to do? Who you are engaged in conversation with? What does it motivate you to do? How much did you get paid today from spending 3 hours on Facebook? How much did you get paid today just scanning social? How much did you get paid today from watching others live a life, but yet keeping your priorities in the same place? Just some questions that God wanted me to ask you. A profound statement he gave to me, and I want you to hear my heart. I'm going to try to wrap this up quickly. He said, the reason why I need people to have a chance to get their priorities back and reorganize, prioritize and reorganize, prioritize and reorganize. He said, because first of all, I gave them this time because they strayed away from me. They never made me first. The only time I became in the top three is when there was an emergency, when I was the only one that can help them. Brings me to the text. It says, and seek not what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after you. Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, let's get your priorities right. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. He's trying to tell us that your life can actually start working easier by reorganizing your priorities. He said, they've strayed away from me. And they used to use the job as the excuse. They used to use the boss. He said, that's not the excuse now. He said, because when things change, there will not be, oh my God, I don't know why you're telling me this, but the same type of grace we've had before, we're going to have to make sure we don't abuse it in this next season. In other words, we've gotten to where the priority of seeking him first is now and has been seeking him when I can get around to him. We got to prioritize, and God knows we got to reorganize. We got to get the list back right again. The second thing he said to me, and I was like, whoa, God. He said, say that tonight. He said, not only have they strayed away from God, but you strayed away from yourself. Explain to me, God, what do you mean? He said, tell them that they strayed away from themselves. Not only did they leave me, they left themselves. They got consumed in competition with others. They got consumed trying to be like someone else rather than the gifts and talents by which I've given them. Matter of fact, they're not focusing on what I've called them to do. They're so busy watching what someone else is doing, trying to wrap it up with their own twist to it. And really all they're doing is in a life of competition, trying to reinvent themselves by someone else. And right now I don't need clones. I need obedience. I need my creativity to come through you, Pastor McKnight. I need my creativity to come through my sons and my daughters. I need to let them know I don't have to be one-dimensional. I can take the diversity of who you are and create something for my glory if you understand that I don't want you to stray from me and I don't want you to stray from you. And I thank God that I'm comfortable in my own skin. When I minister, I'm not trying to minister. While I appreciate gifts, I appreciate men and women of God. One thing I know I've never tried to be is try to be like someone else. I cannot, and can't nobody be me being me. And that's not an arrogant statement. What I'm really saying is when your heart is right and your treasure is to please God. You're not trying to be like no one else, and you're not trying to say, well, I need to do like they're doing. No. We can appreciate each other's gifts. We can appreciate each other's talents. We can learn from each other, but you need to understand that God wants us to be like him, and also he wants us to appreciate the gifts from each other and understand that it's the diversity of God and the creativity of God that we literally should be able to empower one another by the diversity, because the stretch, the common denominator, let me say it like this, the common denominator of all of it, it all comes from God. It's only when you get insecure and jealous and you begin to be tormented because you're trying to keep up with someone, when you start looking at someone else rather than looking at the God that gave you the gift. He said, make an announcement that they've strayed away from themselves. They've strayed away from themselves. That's where insecurities come. That's where depression comes. That's where jealousy comes in. That's where oppression comes in. Because you've rated someone else better than you've rated yourself. And that's not a license to become prideful. That's not a license to become arrogant. But you strayed away from you. You were not so focused on what I want you to be. You lost your priorities. You were so busy worrying about this, keeping up with this, watching this, till you forgot about you. You forgot about what I wanted you to do. You start hating on folks that ain't done nothing against you. You start disliking people because really, you want to be where they are as if though that's the highlight, not even understanding what I gave you and what I can do for you. I can take you because your gift will make room for you, but you got to understand you can't stray from me and you can't stray from you. And you got to get your priorities back right, and you need to just break down and reorganize. Stop blaming what has happened in your past. Stop blaming who injured you. Stop blaming who hurt you, because, see, that's a part of it. That's a part of your greatness. That's a part of you coming forth to be great in God. It's part of you reorganizing. You got to grow from this place. Let me finish this. What's getting your time and how it's going to pay off? I'm closing with this. I'm already over my 30 minutes. And the Lord said, I want you to break this down for me. And there's four things. It would be wrong for me to teach this tonight. It says, but seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. He said, I'll begin to add things to your life. He said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. It's the will of God to give you everything that you desire. But you got to understand, his will is a gift. I want you to break down this. How do I prioritize, and how do I reorganize? You're writing this down. And I'm going to, hopefully for the night, so when I have this on the podcast, you'll be able to listen to it on the Sanctuary of Praise website, is the gift. Understanding that, first of all, he gave us the gift of salvation, so the gift. So, the gift. Your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. I'm going to break down gift. I'm going to break down what you need to do to prioritize what's right. And then I'm going to break down how you need to reorganize. And while this might not, the first thing definitely is the answer. I'm getting ready to, I'm not necessarily saying this is the order after the first one, but you got to have the rest of it for it to be a gift. The G, the I, the F, and the T. The G, the I, the F, and the T. In order for you to get your priorities back in order and to reorganize, you got to know it's a gift. So the G in gift is, first of all, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So God is the G in the gift. You got to make sure that you don't let nothing get ahead of him, nothing in front of him. You got to make sure that it's what he wants more than what you want. So we got the G in the gift. The next thing, the I in the gift is something that the reason why a lot of people are panicking now is because I'm going to use this word, a word that we don't like to talk about, a word that we don't like to say. It's called inheritance. It's when you start thinking about generational legacy, when you start thinking about working today for your grandchildren, when you start thinking about working today for your children, when you start thinking about creating the income for an inheritance. See, if you're gonna reorganize the generational curses that the enemy wants you or your life to be in poverty and your children's life, somebody got to start thinking about the gift. Somebody's got to start planning. Somebody's got to say, I need to make sure that my mind has inheritance in it. Not enough just to get by. Not going around talking about, you know, I ain't leaving nothing to nobody, man. I'm here, and I ain't gonna leave them nothing. God will see them through. No. You ain't serious about life. Blessed the man who leave an inheritance to his children's children. So first of all, you gotta have God. You gotta think about your income inheritance, and then the F in gift, you gotta think about your family. You gotta think about family prayer. Not family keeping up with the Joneses or the Browns or the Williams, but making sure there's prayer in your family, making sure there's love in your family, making sure there's unity in your family, making sure there's forgiveness. Wrote this down. There's a whole lot of people grieving right now because of this virus, and you know why? Because they started the year off like they had time, and now they've lost someone who they never treated them like a gift. And now they got guilt around the gift. I need to end this call. I mean, I'm trying to get out of it. But the truth of the matter is, I want my parents to be here a long time. And God has allowed them to be here a long time. My brothers, my sisters, or whoever. And I try to treat people who I don't have to have regret later on. And it doesn't always mean that I'm treated like I want to be treated or considered like I want to be considered. But one thing, I made a covenant with God with this. I don't want to live a life of guilt or saying, I wish I would have done more. I wish I could have done more. When actually, it was really never in your plan to do more. Because if you want to do more, you pray and ask God, he'll give you a strategy to be able to do it. I'm a witness to that. So you got to have G, you got to have God. If you want to reorder the eyes and get your priorities right, number one, and then you got to start thinking inheritance and income. So some of the poverty that's been in your family for years, that you're going to be one of the ones going to be the poverty breaker. Then you got to think about your family. You got to increase your I love yous. You got to increase your thoughtfulness. You got to increase the fact that you appreciate. Mom cooks a meal. Wife cooks a meal. No one says thank you. No. You take people for granted. Taking people for granted. Treating them like they're going to always be there and you don't even know why you have time. Love your family. Why you have time. Don't wait on birthdays and anniversaries. Don't let the world tell you when to buy flowers or when to give a card. One of the greatest holidays is just because. It's a sad world. That's already to me. I'm telling you, really, Valentine month should have been like either January or March or May or July or August or October or December. See, none of the months was 31 days. The love month has been destroyed. Thing with 28 days. I'm still trying to figure that out right now. So God. Income, inheritance, family. And here's the last one. Time management. If you don't get your priorities right, you're going to wake up It's going to be June. You're going to go to sleep again on that same couch or that same bed or in them same pajamas. It's going to be September. You're going to keep flipping through, looking through your phone, checking social media. And it's going to be November. And if we're grateful, a whole year will have gone by consumed by a virus, which really was a hidden opportunity for you to get your priorities back right and reorganize your life so you can get back to winning with your dreams and your goals. Where your treasure is, where your priorities are, that's where your heart's going to be also. That's the scripture. So that brings me to this question as I get ready to pray for you and pray with you. Where's your heart? Because if you understand what we're dealing with in the spiritual realm and in the natural realm, your heart cannot stay in the same place. Because that means your life will also do what your heart is doing. Because you got your treasure in the wrong place. We need to all ask God to help us get our priorities back right and give us the power to reorganize our life to where it's meaningful. And you got proof that you yourself have been through a remodel because you saw the need to prioritize and reorganize. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. You're an amazing God. You do amazing things. There's nobody like you in all the earth. Greater you and greatly you to be praised. Thank you for your word tonight. First of all, we repent from straying from you. Second of all, forgive us for straying from ourselves, which means we stray from your will. Thank you for the second chance. Thank you for the day, and we surely appreciate you for tomorrow and from then on. Protect our nation, protect our families, protect our world. Heal those that are grieving on a daily. Today, 6,000 more families are going through grief and suffering just for one day. And all the other families who've lost multiple loved ones and who loved ones and family members are fighting now, I pray you give them peace and give them victory. Pray for the prayer list on Peace Prayer Army. We pray for direction. We pray for wisdom. We pray for guidance. And I pray, God, against all people of authority who have the authority to do what's right by your people, but yet they're trying to make money their priority. We decree and we declare that lives are way more important than money. We speak victory. We speak power, we speak an answer. We speak joy. We speak favor. We speak direction. We speak protection. Forgive us for procrastination. Forgive us for broken focus. Forgive us for slowing our own dreams down. It wasn't the devil. We just got attracted. We got distracted. God, I pray now by your spirit and by your power that you give us the power to reorganize. You give us the power to prioritize. You are first. You are only and you are best. Bless families. Bless homes. Marriages. Bless children. Generational children. Save the lost.